That's what I'm going to talk about today, just for a few minutes. You know, the Bible tells us in James 4 and 8, to draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. That's such an important thing. I have to admit, you know, I came in here this morning, and I'm going to be honest with you. I came here this morning after going through trying to take care of in-laws and children and take care of Emmaus and take care of this and take care of that. And just constant, and every time I go to work, it's a phone call or a text or something. I came in here this morning, I have to admit, I was not the jolly old Saint Nick that I normally am. I have to admit it. I even had to apologize to everybody. I'm sorry, I had a rotten attitude. I can't blame it on anybody. People at work used to come tell me, well, they just got up on the wrong side of the bed. I said, well, go home, get in your bed, roll out the other side. So it wasn't really bad. It's just, I just weren't my normal self. Of course, if y'all see this, I am not my normal self. I was kept doing like this in the mirror. I wonder what like, because I haven't done this in so many years. It's been like 13 years. And so I was thinking about the other day, and then Linda said, you know what, how do you think it would look? Because I was looking really bad after the Emmaus. We come back after Emmaus. I've been driving in the dark. My eyes were hurting. I come in and took a picture because Linda was standing with her mom, and I showed it to her. She said, honey, you look rough. No, it looked like I've been in the club, but I've been to Emmaus. You were there. You saw me. You were there. Yeah. And so what I was going to say is I got come in. So Linda said, she's good at this stuff. She took my picture and she drew this off. She said, you think it might make you feel a little better? And I said, well, it can't make me feel any worse. It will grow back. And so I went in and I took the little electric laser and she said, wow, that was fast. She wanted to know if I made a picture and sent it back. I said, no, that's the real thing. And she said, then she made me feel really good. She said, now you look like Colonel Sanders. I said, well, at least it's fried chicken. Amen. But sometimes we go through heartache. We go through pain. We go through excruciating times in our life. Something we didn't invite. We didn't ask for it. It's there. And you can't even hurt yourself because you're so busy helping other people hurting. You can't even get a chance to even back up and punt because you got to be on the field every minute. You know, everybody heard Iron Man football? You know what Iron Man football is? Really what Iron Man football is? I coached a football team in Benson, and it takes 11 men on the field, and sometimes we only had 10. Let me say that one more time. It requires 11 men on defense, and 11 men on offense, and a kicking team. An average team is 50 to 100 players. And we had 10, sometimes 11. And those guys played the whole game, both sides, and sometimes one man would take two positions. And that was rough. And I felt so bad for my guys because they wanted to win so bad, and they won some games, but they wanted to win so bad. The problem was, by the time those other teams with 100 players, they could put people in and out, and they could refresh. Those Iron Men guys, they couldn't refresh. They played the whole game. Hit, hurt. Daniel got hit one day so hard by a guy that didn't hear the whistle. Daniel stopped, and the guy ran across the field. It was his first game, his first time he played, and he was twice the size of Daniel. He hit Daniel and knocked him. Looked like he knocked him 10 foot. He got a penalty, but we had to put Daniel. That's when we had 11, went to 10 because Daniel had to go on the sidelines to recuperate because he got hit so hard. But he wanted to get back in the game, so he got back in the game. And so it was hard to even push those guys because there was only 10 or 11 playing against 100. And so here I was trying to be uplifting, trying to come down hard on them when they needed it, but I felt like I couldn't be hard on them. And trying to enthuse them and push them when I could push them. But every time they get on that field, they would stand on the sidelines, and there'd be 10 or 11 of them, and there would be a whole sideline full of other players on the other side. And they would look at it. And so sometimes I had to help them because they would go in defeated before they ever played because they knew they were not going to get a break. Sometimes that's how we feel. You're busy. You're doing everything you can to keep your end of the bargain up, to keep your end of the deal up. And no matter how hard you fight, you're trying to fight for other people. You're there for other people. And you feel like, you know what, it'd be nice if I could come off the sideline for a few minutes. When I coached basketball, I wouldn't let DC off the field, off the court. He came and said, Daddy, I'm tired. I said, DC, I need you there. I need you. He said, Daddy, I'm so tired. I said, I'll come in for a minute. He come and sat down, and by the time the play would stop, I'd throw him back out there. He goes, Daddy, you're wearing me out. I said, I know, son, but you know what you're doing. And the guy put in your place doesn't even, he thinks he's playing for the other team. So sometimes, have you ever just felt like that? You're on the field all the time, no break. You ever felt like that? Well, sometimes we all feel like that. So I just want to tell you something. Well, when you feel like that, when you run into heartbreak, or you run into pain, or you run into things that's just constantly, you're up against it, you can't even breathe, let me just tell you something. Satan wants to use the heartbreak or the pain or the overwork in your life to break you. Y'all guys at PCS, you know what overwork is. Good Lord, some of those guys, I think if they could, they'd work you 24/7 and want more. Amen? Over that fire stuff, 24/7 and then some. Amen. You know what it is to keep working and no breaks. And so, but Satan wants to take that and he wants to use it to break you. You know, a pain or somebody's calling. Or it's like, you know, you're at one hospital, you get a phone call, somebody's in the emergency room in another hospital, you get there and you find somebody's in another room. And I remember one Tuesday, I think it was, I was at 5 o'clock at one hospital that morning for an operation, got called, that was in Newbern, got called to Washington emergency room. By the time I got in the emergency room, I got called back to Newbern for the other emergency room. And then I had to find out, so it was like, there was like four emergency room calls in one day, and they were all in different places, Greenville, Washington, Craven, and it's just go, and you sit down, and then you get embarrassed, because when you sit down, your eyes go. And somebody says, what's wrong, Pastor? Don't you care? Yeah. That guy that cussed me last week, that teenager, this week I had Doug with me, and I said, let's go straight to the juvies. So we went to the juvies, and I was going to try to find him, and I was going to talk to him because he cussed me bad. I've been there. I haven't been cussed hardly that bad by adults, much less the team. And so, what made it even worse is he'd praise God and then cuss, praise God and then cuss, praise God and then cuss, and then call me all kinds of names. And so I went up to him, and when I walked up to him, I looked at him and said, God loves you. And his heart dropped. I told Douglas, I don't know whether they got to him or just then got to him. I don't know what, but he just dropped. He held his head down. And I said, and I want you to know that we, and taught me and Doug, and our guys, we love you. We love you so much that we're putting aside our own personal problems to come here to be with you. And he looked at me again, and I said, God's got something for you if you'll quit fighting him and let him use you. Matter of fact, when we left, he was crying. He looked at me and cried. And I said, thank you, God. Because last week he was Billy Bad. Last week he was all this in a bag of chips. Last week he was eating me up. And so again, you know, no, God's got going, right? So I'm going to tell you something about pain. And just a quick, all right? God, number one, God allows pain in your life. Surprise. God allows it. I can't say that loud enough. God allows pain in your life. Now, why does he allow pain? Just a few things. Like I said, this is kind of off the top of my head this morning. I did write it down, so at least I wouldn't be stuck in one spot. Pain is a reminder that the real enemy is trying to take us out and bring us down. By keeping us stuck in the broken places. How many's ever got stuck before? Your car. Your truck. You get all muddy. You get all tore up because you're stuck. And you're sitting there and you spin and you spin and you spin. You get mad and you spin and you spin and you spin. Whatever you do, you just stay in this place and you just keep getting dirtier and dirtier and dirtier and aggravateder. And you had to call for a wrecker or whatever, somebody to come get you out. But pain is a reminder that there's a real enemy out there and he's trying to bring us down by keeping us stuck in the broken places. How many like to be, how many's been in broken places? How many wants to be stuck in a broken place? Not me. You know, like this morning when I came in, I have to admit, I was not the jolly old Saint Nick that I have been. And so, but again, I went to bed late last night. I was working on a sermon that I'm not even going to preach. All right. And I just left my in-laws, and I was trying to help take care of them. And there were some other things going on. I had one of my family members, another family member was sick, and I was trying to keep up with them. And just trying to do something. And again, we all do that. Don't look over me and say, poor pastor, because not poor pastor. We all do that. We all got that. Okay? I'm not here saying, look at me. I'm telling you, we all got that. But I got in this morning, and when I got this morning, I was in a hurry. I stopped, and I was still working on the sermon. So I was working on the sermon. I looked at the clock and said, good Lord, am I 15 minutes late or an hour and 15 minutes late? I remember one Easter. The time changed on Easter. We had a sunrise service. Before I went to bed, I moved it 1 hour forward. My wife went afterwards and didn't know I had done that, and she saw it and thought you were supposed to move it 1 hour back. I get a knock on my window by a guy saying, where you at, Pastor? We're all at the waterside. We're all at the pond. We didn't have the river like here. It was ponds and Benson. He said, we're all at the pond waiting for you. I said, I got another hour. He said, no, you don't. Okay, so again, here we go. Pain is a reminder. A real enemy is trying to get you down by keeping you stuck in the broken places. Number two, pain is a gift. Ha ha. I mean, like that gift. No, I didn't say return it. That's good, Beth. Then we got a pain. Let's return that one. No, pain is a gift. It motivates us to fight with brave tenacity and fierce determination, knowing that there's healing on the other side. This morning I've had my shoulder's been kind of cutting up a little bit. This shoulder up in here, and it's because I worked out with the weights a different way. And so now this shoulder's been kind of cutting up. And this morning I got up, and I was getting up out of the chair. I just pushed my arm up. And as I pushed my arm up to get up, all of a sudden I heard a snap, crackle, and a pop, and I didn't have a bowl. And I got up and went, oh, no, and I leaned over. And I'm holding this now. Bethany wouldn't know this, I don't reckon. But, you know, one of the first signs of a heart attack is you grab your shoulder. And so I'm going, oh, and I'm leaning over, and she's going, what's wrong? And all I can think about is I was working out at the gym one day, and I had my radio right here, my earpieces were in, and I'm going along, and Dr. Young walks in. When Dr. Young walks in, I'm actually trying to adjust my radio. So I'm going. He runs over and says, are we having a heart issue? And I said, no, we're having an iHeart radio issue. Pain is a gift. It lets you know there's a problem. It also lets you know that you got to fight. I went in and put some blue goo on it and took something. Of course, it's still not feeling good, but again, it lets me know that I'm going to have to do something if I want to keep using that arm. Amen? And then there's the in-between, the desperate place where we're not sure, if we're going to be on the other side. We're not quite sure what it feels like to even be anything but raw. So here it is. Pain is an invitation. It's an invitation for God to move in and replace our faltering strength with His. You know, I watch at Emmaus, and Emmaus to me is so awesome because many times we've been there and things have been happening. I remember when Benny did his walk, and be sure we would pray. We need to pray for Barbara. Her daughter is having some more issues, and so that's where they're at today. He's teaching the class, but she's there with her daughter, Cindy. It's not looking good. There's some bad stuff going on in Cindy's life as far as her body. And she called me and said, please get the church to pray. So let's remember Cindy when we are praying. But I remember we're in this thing, in this Emmaus, and we're waiting for everything. Everything was awesome. It was just so awesome. And nobody had their cell phone, but I told everybody, everybody that was there from our church, I gave somebody my contact number. So if they needed to get a hold of them, they could call me. And so I go back to my room and I see where Barbara had called. And so I called Barbara back, and she said that Cindy was having a hard time. And I think they said they thought she was having a stroke. And so I went in, and I told Benny, I said, what do you mean tell Benny? She said, just tell Benny that she's sick. She may be having a stroke, but don't come. Just need you to pray. So I walked into the room, and I leaned over at Benny's table, and I told him what was going on. I said, Benny, what do you want to do? And Benny says, I'm not going to let Satan steal from me or her. He says, what I want you to do is call everybody together, and we all just pray. And so I called a room of about 40 or 50 guys together. And we got in the center of the room, put Benny in the center of the room, and we started praying for his for Barbara's daughter. And as we started praying for Barbara's daughter, the Holy Ghost began to move through that place, and it got very, very powerful. And you could feel the presence of God in that place. And I kid you not, by the time we got through praying, I get a phone call, and it's Barbara. And she says, tell Benny everything's okay. Said God just miraculously moved in her life. That's powerful. That's powerful. And so Benny said, well, I'm not going anywhere anyway. I knew God was going to do it. I thought it was pretty cool, okay? But in order to have this stuff happen, you got to invite God into your pain. If you want to help survive the desperate in-between, between the pain and the healing, you got to invite God in there. And I'm a pastor. And I tell people all the time, I'm a counselor. I talk to people all the time about putting God in it, keeping God in it, keeping God up front. And sometimes I get running and things get happening and I have to stop and say, wait a minute. Where'd I leave him? Did y'all get that? Sometimes I get moving so fast and what's going on, I have to stop and say, wait a minute, where'd I leave him? Because he didn't leave me. And so I stop and say, wait a minute, Lord, I am so sorry. I have forgot. It's like the time a lady in our church, a man in the church, his daughter, she would have asthma attacks. And one day she had an asthma attack, and he tried to give her an inhaler. It didn't work. And so he picked her up, and he said, he hollered, I'm taking her to the hospital. And he's going out, and I said, well, let us pray for her first. And he said, we don't have time for that. He goes out and gets in his car, and I just was kind of standing there. No time for prayer? And so while I said that to him, I didn't say it to him after I said, let's pray. I was thinking to myself, I can't believe he just said, we don't have time for that. And all of a sudden, he comes walking in back in the door with his daughter in his arms. And he said, God hit me when I walked out the door. And he walked up, and we prayed for her, and God stopped that asthma attack. So again, God wants us to invite him into our pain. So also, when pain is there, it's a sensation that indicates transformation is needed. We need to go from weakness to strength. And so how do we go from weakness to strength? Today I put blue goo on this arm, and I'm going to take some ibuprofen when I leave this place. You know, but that's all just temporarily. But a transformation is when you totally change. And so let me just do this. Psalm 91, and then we'll close because we got snow coming down out there, believe it or not. Like I told them a while ago, if we'd have canceled service today, we would have had 2 drops. Yeah. Okay, Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to pray a prayer. This is going to be our dismissal prayer, so we can go and get out of here because it looks like it's actually going to start sticking. So I'm going to pray, all right? Lord, draw us close. You said if we would draw close to you, you would draw close to us. Your word promises that when we draw close to you, you are there. I want our drawing close to be a permanent dwelling place. At the moment when I feel weak, when I feel empty, when I feel alone, I pray that I won't let those feelings, that we won't let those feelings drag us down into a pit of insecurity, but rather into those feelings to be triggers for us to immediately lift up those burdens and feelings to you and trade them for assurance of your security. We are not alone because you're with us. We are not weak because you're our strength. We are not empty because we're drinking daily from your fullness. You are our dwelling place, and you have shelter for every stormy circumstance and harsh reality. I'm not pretending that things aren't hard, and I'm not pretending that things don't exist like that, Lord, but I am rejoicing in the fact that your covering protects us and prevents those hard things from affecting us like they used to. You are the Most High. You had the final say over every situation. You know us, and you love us intimately. And today I declare that we will trust you in the midst of anything we're facing. You are our everyday dwelling place, and you are our saving grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, get up, say hello, and go. Hold on.